we're just getting into the Christmas motif. Just keep your seat. Let's open to, first of all, hymn number 80. And let's see. So we'll do all three of 80. We won't do all of them at all of them, but let's just have some fun, just a little time, a couple of days before Christmas here, and just spend some time looking and singing together, and just sing out like you were in the shower by yourself, nobody listening or nobody caring, and let's just have some fun together. So hymn number, carol, Christmas carol number 80, Away in a Manger. Okay, now, let's go. Yes, it's off. Are said in the Bible, huh? Doesn't say any animal was there in the Bible, in the, huh? Doesn't say any Bible, and the innkeeper is not recorded as saying anything in the Bible. I said in the stable where Jesus was, or his barn. None are mentioned. Okay, 81. Let's just sing the first verse and enjoy Christmas together. Oh, come. Thank you. Now let me ask you a question. Well, how does the Bible say that Mary and Joseph traveled from Nazareth down to Bethlehem? Huh? Donkey? Huh? Oh, Steve. As a matter of fact, it doesn't say. It's just tradition that she rode the donkey and he walked. That's just tradition. Okay. Oh, just people started talking about these things and write songs about it and stuff and have it. No? No. Just these other things get started and all that. One of my, in fact, my most favorite, and I have about four episodes of House, is a young girl came in and she had some kind of rash, and I won't go through all of it, but she made it very mysterious as to what she did, and he somehow gathered that she was a stripper at a stripping club, and so she left him the last time she left. Won't you come and see me sometime? And he goes, oh, I don't usually frequent those places. But the very end of the show, he walks into this church, and she rides across on the donkey as Mary. And she looked at him, and I mean, she gave him that look like, I got you. And he looked back at her, you got me. I mean, it was a superb moment for our House and for the only time I ever saw him in church in all the episodes. Okay, A Little Town of Bethlehem, just the first verse. 85. Oh, little town of Bethlehem, y'all just won't let me sneak up on you. We're going to do that at the very end. Be the last good parting song, Silent Night, and leave silently. Okay, let's talk about prayer, and we have several people to be in prayer for. First of all, Tish is down. She does not feel well at all. Is she feeling a little better when you talk with her? Because when I talked with her this afternoon, she was down.
Yeah, I haven't talked with her this afternoon.
Okay. So she needs our prayers. And Larry Wise is also down. And she needs our prayers. And so we need to be in prayer. In prayer for now, Brian.
And the kids, too.
Yeah.
Oh, what's the matter with Tish? She got the cold?
Just goes... flu beginning, maybe?
I don't think it's the flu.
Not the flu? Okay, got a cold, not feeling well.
Is Judy and John and Dan...
Well,
and
I'm
slow.
All right, now I'm dealing with the church. Now we'll branch out. People, please be in prayer, and you can put this on our prayer list, Leslie. Please be in prayer for Judy Hintz. She's been not feeling well for about 4 or 5 weeks, but in the last week, it has really come down on her, and she's been in bed now. Finally went to the doctor. He gave her some things that if she doesn't recover by Monday, they're going to put her in the hospital. That's how bad she is. John is also doing very poorly. They got some kind of flu that's going out there.
Wow.
And he's doing very poorly. He has not taught in a week, and he stayed in bed all day one day. Dan and Pat are both down, not as severe. Yeah, and they're staying with them, and so Dan and Pat are down, not as severe as John and Judy. And in fact, they took off and got out and went up to Phoenix from Tucson to be with her brother and family. Then they'll come back down Friday, I guess, and spend Christmas with John and Judy, whatever that will entail, probably just having soup, chicken soup or something. And then they leave early. The day after Christmas, 26, Sunday morning, real early. They need our prayers. Joe is also not feeling well, and however, he flew down and is spending time with his mother in Arkansas, so he needs our prayers. He's not feeling well. He was also at the house. And
he has.
Well, I wasn't going to get involved in that, but okay. And so he needs our prayers. So we got John and Judy, Dan and Pat. They're supposed to be getting ready to travel to Africa on Sunday, so please be in prayer for their health. And John is supposed to be able to teach Christmas Eve. They have a Christmas Eve service, and so just hopefully and prayerfully he'll be able to do that. He's not been able to teach for a little over a week now. So we need to be in prayer for them, Dan and Pat, Joe, and then Tish and Larry. Okay, anyone else that I'm not aware of that needs our prayers? My daughter, Karen, is also down with strep throat, so she needs our prayers, so we need to be in prayer for her.
Keep my youngest daughter in
prayer. Debbie? Okay, keep Debbie in prayer. And so, I'm sorry? Okay, we'll be in prayer for Debbie. And can we put it on our public prayer list and just say, just be in prayer for Debbie? Okay. And so any other prayer requests? Let's always be in prayer for Cindy, our faithful member up in Wichita Falls, Texas, and her family. And so just be in prayer for them. And so just be in prayer for each other, everyone that's in the battle and in the conflict that we're in. Yes, ma'am. Ding, 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 ding. All right. Lonnie was taken off of the life support Sunday, as we announced it would be Sunday sometime. And he's still breathing. However, he has gotten worse. He cannot recognize anyone. But so I think it's a bona fide prayer that the Lord will promote him on home and take him home. But they've... moved him out of intensive care to just what they call a comfort ward, just try to make him comfortable and keep him that way. So let's be in prayer for Lonnie and family, his daughters, and just be in prayer for his children and Tish and Larry, his brother here, and then the extended family. So we need to be in prayer for Lonnie. And so just bear that in your prayer list. Thank you. I'm there. And... any other prayer requests? Okay. All right. Okay, let's prepare ourselves for our continual study of the changing of the guard. We are in the midst of studying the changing of the guard from Jesus Christ to the Paraclete, that is God the Holy Spirit. So let's begin with the word of prayer. Heavenly Father, it seems like whatever we're studying, we learn about you. You're the God of order. You're the God of structure. You did not create the world, tohu babohu, waste and void. It's not how you created it. It became that. In the age of Israel, you had the tribe, and the tribal head, and the priesthood, and the family head. In marriage, the husband, then the parents. The local church, the pastor, teacher. So in every dispensation, Father, you've got a structure, an order for society. We learn about you. And so it is now, Heavenly Father, with the beginning of the church age. You changed the guard from the Aaronic priesthood to Jesus Christ himself, and now to the Paraclete, the Holy Spirit. Praise your guidance, Father, as we look at some of these things and the changing of the guard and learn about you in the midst thereof. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Now, last week we ended looking at a first pattern of the changing of the guard, Moses to Joshua. Deuteronomy 31:23, then he commissioned Joshua, the son of Nun, and said, "Be strong and courageous, for you shall bring the sons of Israel into the land which I swore to them, and I will be with you." And it may sound look like it's Moses speaking, but it's God, and we saw that in verse 14. Then the Lord, Jesus Christ, said to Moses, "Behold, time for you to die is near. Call Joshua and present yourselves at the tent meeting, that I, God, may commission him, Joshua." So Moses and Joshua went and presented themselves at the tent meeting. So we spent some time in looking at the changing of the guard from Joshua, from Moses to Joshua. Now there's another wonderful example of the changing of the guard that sets a pattern for what we're seeing in John 15 and 16, changing the guard from Jesus Christ to the Holy Spirit, and that is from Elijah to Elisha. From Elijah to Elisha. And I'm not going to spend a great deal of time, but I just want to show you some things about these two men's names fairly close. So first of all, we have Elijah, and then we have Elisha, okay? Now, the reason I want to put it on the board, because there's some things you can appreciate about their names. Look at the name Elijah first, okay? The L, Elohim, always refers to God. And Yah, this always refers to God or to the Lord. And his name means Jehovah is God. Jehovah is God. So this is what his name means. Now if you look at Elisha, had the same principle. There's the L again. So you have God. And Shah also deals with the Godhead. Both are used of God. And so this is God is Savior. God is Savior. God of deliverance. God of salvation. So this is what his name means. Now for the changing of the guard, I love the names just in themselves, but for the changing of the guard, let's look at 2 Kings 2. Run your Bibles to 2 Kings 2. After the Pentateuch and before Job and Psalms. 2 Kings 2. I'm having a wonderful, frustrating time working on what we're going to be starting on Sunday morning at the 9:30 service when we finish our gospel foundation study. And I want to just take some books and just go through them. And it's frustrating because I want to stop and do 10 points here and 5 points there and know this, do that, and then go to this passage and go to that. But that's not my objective. My objective is to familiarize ourselves with some books of the Bible. So it's going to be a rather interesting study. And on the one hand, you think, well, that's something you do your first year out of seminary or something like that. But I only feel really adequate to do that after 35 years in the ministry, where I can read through and see things and be able to talk about them that way. So it's going to be very interesting. And if you have a book that you've wondered about, feel free to let me know. I'm just, it's either go by what the Holy Spirit wants me to do or what you want me to do. I'm just kidding. But just tell me if there's a book, Old or New Testament, that's been a mystery to you, and or even a section of Scripture. And I might even just do some of the, like the wheels and wheels of Ezekiel, and just pick up some things that we're not going to be able to cover in a verse-by-verse study of the books. So that's going to be frustrating, but it's also going to be a lot of fun. Okay, by now you should have found 2 Kings 2. And let's look at verse 9. 2 Kings 2, verse 9. When they had crossed over, Elijah... Okay, let's look at verse 7, just to kind of get us into the flow here of what's going on, so you can get a feel of the context. Now, 50 men of the sons of the prophets went into the prophetic school and stood opposite them at a distance, while the two, Elijah and Elisha of them, stood by the Jordan. Elijah took his mantle and folded it together and struck the waters. And they were divided here and there, so that the two of them crossed over on dry land. Now we come to verse 9. When they had crossed over, Elijah said to Elisha, "Ask what I shall do for you before I am taken from you." And Elijah said, "Please let me a double portion of your spirit be upon me." He wants the Holy Spirit. This is powerful for taking the place of Elijah. Now look at verse 15. Verse 15. Now when the sons of the prophets who were at Jericho opposite him saw him, they said, "The spirit of Elijah," this is the Holy Spirit, "rest upon Elisha." And they came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. So he is identified with God, the Holy Spirit. So he is now, we have the changing of the guard. And so now we come to the changing of the guard of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. Now I'm not going to go back because it wasn't that long ago that we looked at it and we actually read and identified everything for you. But you recall the whole parable of the Good Samaritan is the changing of the guard, Jesus Christ to the Holy Spirit. And the person beat up on the road, that's the church, Gentiles. And then the people walking by, Jewish religious leaders, walked by and had nothing to do with him. So Jesus comes, lifts him up, that's salvation, anoints him with oil, heals him, that's salvation, takes him to the innkeeper, this is the Holy Spirit, and tells the innkeeper to take care of him, take care of the church, and he will be back. And so this is the return of Jesus Christ for the church. He's not here during the church. He will come back and take the church. So now we have a look at the changing of the guard. Now, in verse 12, the beginning of the changing of the guard here, three aspects of spiritual love, and people, I don't want you to lose it. I love the journey that the Holy Spirit has taken me on to, so that I can see spiritual love where it occurs that I wouldn't have seen it before. So here is spiritual love, three aspects of it. Now, the first aspect of spiritual love, in verse 12, we have what many have looked at as a farewell address from Jesus Christ to his disciples. Here is the spiritual love of Christ. He is going to leave them, but he's not going to leave them alone. He is going to send a helpmate corresponding to himself. That is God the Holy Spirit. Just like himself, another like himself. That is deity. He will not be human where you can see him flesh. He will be spirit. So let's look at verse 12. I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. Verse 12. John 16. John 16. All right, Gospel of John 16, verse 12. I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. Let's look at I have many more things. Okay, what are we seeing here? People were seeing spiritual love in action. This is spiritual love in action. Look at John 15, verse 15. John 15, verse 15. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends. For all things I have heard from the Father, I have made known to you. Now, he called them friends, and he does not wish to hold back anything from them. One thing a true friend desires for his friend is to know the truth from God. And I put it in our terms, the truth of God's Word. When you truly love someone, as a fruit of the Holy Spirit, you will desire for them to know and understand the Bible as much as possible. But there's something else spiritual love does. So firstly, spiritual love desires for them to know all of these things. Second thing that spiritual love does, spiritual love is sensitive. Spiritual love is sensitive to just what a person can comprehend. Remember that spiritual love, the first primary thing about spiritual love is that spiritual love what? Well, but observes, sees what's needed. That's what spiritual love does. It sees a need. And then it seeks to meet the need to the best that it can, being sensitive to the person's circumstances. See, that's very important. So spiritual love sees a need, then it wants to meet that need, but it's sensitive to that person's circumstances. A pastor teacher must be aware when he teaches. What can the congregation or his speaking people they're speaking with comprehend? And in 1 John, that wonderful shepherd in 1 John, he calls them little children, some of the people that were there. He calls them young men, and then he calls them fathers. So he's speaking to all age groups that are in his congregation, and not necessarily age group by human chronological age, but spiritually. Spiritually, little children. Spiritually, young men. And spiritually, fathers. So spiritual love is sensitive to all he teaches and to the one that he is teaching. Paul is often sensitive to those he is writing. Now, I was taught he's chewing them out and bracing them and all this stuff. That's the way Paul is doing, especially in Galatians. He's not saying, you stupid, ignorant people. He's saying, you non-thinking Galatians. Drawing their mind. Think. I want you to think about this. What things that I want to point out to you. So, a husband needs to be sensitive to his wife. The wife to her husband. Parents must be sensitive in dealing with their children. Let's just pick on the father. The father may have a great love and a desire to give his newly born child really great stuff. Feed him the best food. Desired and motivated by love for this little child. But love recognizes that the child is not nearly ready for these things. So instead of a T-bone steak, he gives him food all meshed up. Goo. See? So Jesus Christ has many things that he would love to give them. Many things concerning himself. Death, burial, resurrection, ascension, session. He wants to teach them these things. He wants them to understand and know these things. But they're just not ready. He wants to teach them about the kingdom. How the kingdom is open to Gentiles. This will be a tough one. It's a tough one for Peter. It's a tough one in the epistle, writers of the epistles and people at that time. This will be very tough. And for the record, many things includes the whole book of Revelation. Includes the whole book of Revelation is included. I have many things to teach you. Look at Revelation 1:1. Just let me show you a couple of things in Revelation. You know where that is. Revelation 1. Verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him, God the Father gave to Jesus Christ, to show, to reveal to his bondservants. So that's what he desires for them to see. The things which must soon take place, and we're going to see in John 16, the Holy Spirit will tell you things to come. Here it is. And he sent and communicated it by his angel to his bondservant, John. So here we have God the Father to Jesus Christ, to the angel, his messenger, to John. And remarkably, it didn't get mushed up and messed up. I mean, boy, even in the military, you could start off, and I was on a general staff. You start off with the general saying something, and by the time it got down to the foot soldier, it wasn't anything like what the general said. So this is just the way it goes. And look at verse 10 in chapter 1. I, John, was in the Holy Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice like the sound of a trumpet. So here he is. He's taught by and through the Holy Spirit. Look at chapter 19. Revelation 19. See what I love now, having studied it so often, we can just go to it now because this is one thing Jesus Christ said. Keep going back, heeding it, paying attention to it, looking at it. So what we're kind of doing here. Look at chapter 19, verse 10. Then I fell at his feet to worship him, but he said to me, "Do not do that. I am a fellow servant of yours and your brethren who hold the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." That's the heart of prophecy, is around the person of Jesus Christ. And then, of course, 22:16. Look at chapter 22. Verse 16. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things for the churches, that's us. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright and morning star. So all the way through from when Jesus Christ speaks, the apostles writing to the book of Revelation, I have many things to say to them, to tell you. So these are just some of the truths that they need to know. Now there's a problem. There's a problem. Look at what it says. But. John 16. But. You cannot bear them now. Spiritual love is sensitive to what a person can bear or grasp. Everything here is so important. It's amazing. Everything here is so important. Let's start out with, first of all, the conjunction Allah, translated but. Now, before we do that, remember John 15:15. They are all his friends. We're his friends. He desires for them to know all these things, all about him. But there's a problem. They cannot understand. They cannot understand. You cannot bear them now. Now, there are various reasons why people do not reveal themselves even to those they love. Most of the time it is because they have something like, well, if they knew this about me, they wouldn't love me. And so we hold back in revealing ourselves. We put that on them as though they wouldn't, or we're ashamed of ourselves, whatever they might be, so we hold back and do not reveal and share all these things. So we're afraid to reveal because of themselves or doubting the other person. Another reason, in fact, I think my wife says she wished I would hide some things, but it's all there. Everything's right there. Okay, now, there are other reasons. Another reason is the other person. The other person doesn't desire to know many things about you. And unfortunately, this is true of many of the Jews at the time of the writing. And unfortunately, it's true sometimes of a husband and wife. But Jesus Christ does not desire to hold back anything from his friends, but the problem is on their side. It's a case of the disciples. What's the problem? They do not have the Holy Spirit. That's the problem. They do not have the Holy Spirit. And whether you realize it or not, it is impossible to know and grasp spiritually things in the Bible without the Holy Spirit. You can learn a great deal of intellectual information, a great deal of facts, but no spiritual impact whatsoever. It can have emotional impact, all this kind of thing, but no spiritual impact that is spiritually oriented to God and what God is doing. Now, this presents a problem that relates even today. While every believer is indwelt by the Holy Spirit, if you're not empowered by the Holy Spirit, you're in the same condition as these men. You're in the exact same condition as these men. So it is not just having the paraclete in us. It is a matter of being filled with the Holy Spirit, empowered by the Holy Spirit, enlightened by the Holy Spirit. Have these truths revealed by the Holy Spirit so they have spiritual impact. Alright, that takes care of one little conjunction, Allah, but. Introduces the problem. Then we have the present middle indicative of the most interesting word, dunamai. D-U-N-A-M-A-I, English word, dynamite. The word refers to power. The word refers to ability. This points out something we often forget. We cannot grasp biblical truth without the power of the Holy Spirit. That's why I always say before we start, and we have a morning prayer, it's not a ritual prayer, people. A lot of times we do these things ritually. Well, we thank for food. Thank you, God, for this food. Amen. I hope you don't do that. These are not ritual. Whenever you talk to the Father, and this is not a ritualistic prayer, it's a prayer for you to think a minute. Just forget the things going on in your life, as tough as that may be sometimes. Either you're too happy or too sad or too disturbed or too troubled. You just got to put it all aside now. The Holy Spirit, take over. And give. Let Him teach you the truth. That's what we have to do. So dunamai refers to the power, the ability. We cannot grasp biblical truth spiritually without the power of the Holy Spirit, who gives us the ability to grasp spiritual scripture. Again, you can know a lot of the facts of the Bible. You can even know theology. But grasping it spiritually is far a different matter. That's why I like to use the old example of some old black preacher back in the woods in Georgia or Alabama. And we study these people in seminary, and they got this whole wall right there filled with books that they've written. Do not begin to understand that faith alone in Christ alone is salvation. Faith in the Holy Spirit is spirituality. And that black preacher's there just wailing it out in truth, in common language, not even in these big, beautiful words. People, and I have people ask about which translation. Well, people, you can see it in the worst translation. You can miss it in the worst translation. You can see it in the best translation. You can miss it in the best translation. Yes, I think there is a difference in the translations and all. But I want you to understand is that the secret is not in the translation. The secret is in the Holy Spirit opening our eyes. Secret's not in the Greek and Hebrew. The secret's in letting the Holy Spirit open our eyes. That's the secret. There are men who study the language and study their Bible. Well, they think the whole thing is designed and put into the grammar. It's just not true. It's just not true. Secret isn't there. Secret's very simple. Let the Holy Spirit open your eyes. Not have the power. Present tense. Right now. Do not have the power. Right now in the present tense. While Jesus Christ is speaking to them. This is their current condition. Middle voice represents the subject acting on itself. You do not have ability within yourself right now. Indicative mood is the reality of their condition. And we must realize the reality of our condition when we're not filled with the Spirit. Yes, the Spirit's in you. He indwells. You can't lose Him. Can't get Him out of there. It doesn't mean He's going to be empowering you. Give you peace, love, joy, self-control, these wonderful things. So, this is the reality. Okay. You cannot bear. You do not have the ability or the power to bear. Present active infinitive of bastazo. B-A-S-T-A-Z long O. Bastazo means to take up. To hold. To bear. Here it means to bear so as to understand. Spiritual love is sensitive to others who do not know, do not have the ability to learn these things. Who do we know does not have spiritual love? Well, anyone who does not know how to be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's who. But in reference to our study, I'd like you to take a look at Matthew 23:4. Let's look at Matthew 23:4 a moment. Okay, Matthew 23. Let's look at verse 4. They tie up heavy burdens. This is the Pharisees. Look at verse 1, the scribes, Jesus Christ speaking, the scribes and the Pharisees have seated themselves in their chair of Moses. In the chair of Moses. In other words, they try to assume his power and authority. Therefore, all that they tell you, do and observe, they're saying this, but do not do according to their deeds, for they say things and do not do them. Now look at verse 4. They tie up heavy burdens. What does that sound like? Isaiah 28, doesn't it? Do and do, do and do. Rule on rule, rule on rule. Little here and a little there. Okay? They tie up heavy burdens and then lay them on men's shoulders. Heavy burdens on how to be legalistic, how to live the Christian life, how to do this and how to do that. But they themselves are unwilling to move them with so much a finger. Okay. Let's take a look at some of the things in this passage. One, to be able to handle it. Be able to grasp it. Two, the truth that in itself is too difficult for them to comprehend. It's just too difficult. Let's go back, by the way, let's go back to John. I'm dealing with John now, not Matthew passage. John 16. Now, Matthew 23:4 is something spiritual love would never do. Never do it. So whenever we have a pastor putting burden of legalism and works on people, you know they're not filled with the Spirit. You know, one, they don't know the truth, but you also know they're not even filled with the Spirit. Okay. So, let's see what spiritual love does. Spiritual love sees they're not able to handle it. They're not able to grasp it. Two, the truth that in itself is just too difficult for them to comprehend without the Holy Spirit. Three, the truth is too much even to respond to properly. How are they going to respond properly that the kingdom's now open to Gentiles as diehard Jews? With all the Jewish background, it's going to be the Jewish kingdom that's going to be brought in by the Messiah and all this. And now, all this stuff, you're opening it up to the Gentiles? You're going to need the Holy Spirit. So even to respond to biblical truth correctly, you've got to have the Holy Spirit. And then fourth, to receive it. Just to receive it. Truth requires the Holy Spirit. You think in terms of lifting something. With the root of the word. Something light we can lift. But then the heavier it gets, more it requires of muscle, more it requires to know how to lift, how to bend your knees, lean down, and then let your legs do the lifting, all these things. You got to understand all these things. This is what Jesus Christ, through spiritual love, is sensitive to. So Jesus Christ says the position they're in right now, they simply cannot understand, grasp, or respond properly to the things He would like to teach them. See, even by, who they teach, taught by people? They're taught by the greatest Bible teacher of all, Jesus Christ Himself. You think, wow, if you can't understand it from Jesus, you're not going to understand it from anybody. No, even from Him, without the Holy Spirit. And you can take poor teacher, like myself, teach in the filling of the Spirit. You're in the filling of the Spirit. We can comprehend. We can grasp. We can bear these things. We can learn to respond to them properly. And receive them properly. So this is what we have going on here. So they're not able to bear, present tense, not able to bear these truths. Active voice, they themselves are unable. What? In the flesh. Active voice here, in the flesh. They're not able to. Infinitive mood, what they're not able to do. You do not have the ability for the purpose to bear this information. Now, if you want an example of what it means not to not able to bear the truth. Let's take a look in John 16. Let me turn there with you now. John 16, and let's just read 16 through 18. John 16, 16 through 18. For a little while, and you will no longer see me. And again, a little while, you will see me. Wow. Some of His disciples then said to one another, what is He saying? What is He talking about? What is this thing He said telling us? And Jesus responds, a little while, and you will not see me. And again a little while, and you will see me. Because I go to the Father. Okay, a little while we're not going to be able to see Him. Then we're going to be able to see Him. But He's going to be with the Father. This just doesn't make sense. Now the Holy Spirit will make it all make sense, see? Verse 18. So they were saying to one another, what is this He's talking about? A little while. We do not know what He's talking about. Probably the most honest statement by the disciples in all the Gospels. We don't know what He's talking about. It's a very good statement. Very good. I remember in seminary, I took a Old Testament theology course, Dr. Walke. And first of all, it started out because he was a great teacher at that time. And I've heard things about him since that really hurt me, but that's beside the point. When he was at Dallas, he was an excellent Hebrew teacher. And we took this course called Old Testament Theology. Well, just to give you an idea of the level of it, it was a senior course level. By the end of 2 weeks, one-third of the class had dropped. By the end of about 4 or 5 weeks, over a half. By the time we got going in the course, there was just a handful of us there. But I'll never forget, one day he walked into class and he starts lecturing. And it was so funny because you could just see him. He's looking right at you, and then he looks here, and then there, and then there, and then up there. And then what I want you to know about the Israelites and that, and I mean, we're all looking at each other. Where is he? What is he saying? And he caught himself, and he looked back at him and said, "When did I lose you?" And the whole class cracked up, and he goes, "That far back, huh?" So, if I'm not mistaken, he even let you dismiss class right then. But so this is a beautiful statement by the disciples in verse 18. We do not know what he's talking about. So we get a feel of what we're seeing here and what we're studying here. Okay, let's look at our passage. Now, it is also important, it is emphatic. May not have the ability now. This is an emphatic. It's a Greek adverb now at the present time. The idea is that while they are not able to comprehend these truths now, they will be able to shortly. Now the question, what's going to happen between now and shortly that they're going to be able to? Three things. The sending of the Holy Spirit, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and then paramount, the filling of the Holy Spirit. Now, we don't have anything to do with the sending. There's nothing to do with the indwelling. But we do with the filling of the Holy Spirit. This Greek adverb, now, is so important in history. Look at John 9. Let's look at John 9. Stay with the book of John. John 9, and let's look at verse 19. John 9, verse 19. And questioned them, saying, "Is this your son who you say was born blind? Then how does he now see?" See that word now? You speed reader, you skip right over it. Now, what's happened? Look at verse 25, same chapter. He then answered, "Whether he is a sinner," he, Jesus Christ, is a sinner, "I do not know. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see." What's happened? He was touched by Jesus Christ. Look at chapter 13. Chapter 13. Let's read verse 6. John 13, verse 6. So he came to Simon Peter, and he said, "Lord," whoa, wait a minute, let's see, 13, 6. Okay, yeah, verse 7. I'm sorry, 6 and 7. So he came to Simon, he's washing the disciples' feet. He came to Simon Peter and said to him, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" In other words, "No, you don't." Jesus answered and said to him, "What I do, you do not realize now, but you will understand hereafter." The indwelling of the Holy Spirit and the filling of the Holy Spirit. See, sending, indwelling, filling of the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 36 and 37 of John 13. 36 and 37. Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, where are you going?" Jesus answered, "Where I go, you cannot follow me now, but you will follow me later." Peter said to him, "Lord, why can I not follow you right now? I will lay down my life for you. See, people, what Peter doesn't understand is the death that Christ is going to die, and the ascension and session that Jesus Christ is going to do. But he was very, very human. Or I love the Lord, and I'm going to go with you in all this. And when someone we love dies, we want to be with them, but not now. Now's not God's timing. It's when God's ready for you to go. He has a job for you to do. You can't follow me now, but you will when the Lord calls you home. So this is very important, this little adverb translated now. Look at chapter 14, verse 7. Chapter 14, verse 7. If you had known me, you would have known my Father. From now on, you know him and have seen him. Why? Because they've seen Jesus Christ. And one more final place for this. Look at chapter 16, our chapter, and look at verse 31. Chapter 16, verse 31. Jesus answered to them, "Do you now believe?" Not speaking of saving faith in Jesus Christ, speaking of, at this point, do you now believe the things that I've said to you? Do you now believe what I am and what I'm doing? First, they have to believe things they learned from the Old Testament scriptures. Then they believe when they saw him personally. Then they believed under the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit. The issue is not more faith. The issue is not more faith, but more in expansion of understanding that comes with the Holy Spirit. And he reveals a little bit, and then he reveals a little bit more, little bit more. I'm just getting cranked up after 35 years, and my time's getting close, and I don't want it to. See? It builds, and just now you learn more and more and more. So these are the things that are going on. So not more faith. In the expansion of the understanding, it's the Holy Spirit, and as they learn more, they will grasp more. Look at 2 Thessalonians 2 a moment. In closing, well, let's just take a look at a couple of things. 2 Thessalonians, Paul's writing, chapter 2, and we're going to look at verses 6 and 7. And you know what restrains him now, so that in his time he will be revealed, the Antichrist. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work, only he who restrains him, who's that? It's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit restrains him. Only he who restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. That is the Holy Spirit taken out. Look at 1 Peter 1. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1. First Peter chapter 1, and let's read together verse 8. 1 Peter 1, verse 8. And though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. This is the work of the Holy Spirit in revealing and making these things known to us. And then finally, Revelation 12. And with this, we'll close. Revelation 12. And let's read verses 9 through 11. Revelation 12, 9 through 11. And the great dragon was thrown down, the serpent of old, who is... By the way, chapter 12, what's chapter 12 about? The contestants. Jesus Christ and the dragon. Okay, verse 9. We just want to look at 9 through 11. And the great dragon was thrown down, the serpent of old, who is called the devil, and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, Now the salvation and power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren has been thrown down, he who accuses them before our God day and night. That's why I say when you malign, gossip, and slander another believer, you're just doing Satan's work. Verse 11, and they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ, and because of the word of their testimony, and they did not have their life, even did not love their life, even when faced with death. For this reason, rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has come down to you, having great wrath, knowing that he had only a short time. Okay, we'll pick it up here with the changing of the guard next Wednesday evening. So, let's close in a word of prayer. Now, Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for tonight. We thank you for showing us the patterns of the changing of the guard. And then, Heavenly Father, for seeing these things and how the love of spiritual love works in regard to Jesus Christ and us. The filling of the Spirit, the growth slowly in the truth, Father. And we just pray that as we walk more and more in the Spirit, we'll have all of these issues of the Holy Spirit and spiritual love, the demonstration of spiritual love, flowing through us, Father, in our relationship with everyone. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Now, if you just remain seated, turn to hymn number 89, and we'll end it tonight. Hymn number 89.